B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
All right, welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. Chuck Bean hanging out with you in the Rift 2 studios along with my good buddy Al Beck.
Hey!
And James.
What's going,
fellas? Nice. How you been? What you been up to this week? He asked somewhat knowingly.
I guess so. Somewhat knowingly.
Well, I saw on social media, you finally watched Black Mirror, the Bandersnatch
episode.
Yeah,
we checked out Bandersnatch over the weekend, and that is a trippy movie.
Like, trippy good?
Trippy, like, whoa, I feel weird watching this trippy.
Yeah.
Some of the decisions they make you choose in the Bandersnatch movie, you're like, I can't believe they're making me choose this.
Yeah, like right from beginning, they hit you with some really inconsequential ones.
Like, you're like, oh, okay, cool. What kind of cereal is he going to eat?
Right.
Well, okay.
Which cassette tape is he going to listen to on the bus?
Yeah.
And then it turns into, do you want to chop up dad or do you want to just bury him in the yard?
Yeah, okay,
oh
good.
My God, I still haven't
read. I wonder if that's that must be a common point in the movie everybody gets to then, because I'm like, I don't want to tell anybody what it is, but I'm
right.
If you watch it, be prepared to make some serious choices.
For sure.
You recommended it. Yep. So, James, you're giving it a, you should go watch
it. I definitely think it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. Whether you like the movie or not, I don't know. But the experience itself is worth checking out. Just the fact you get to choose your own path. And I think we ended up getting like three endings.
Yeah.
Like,
there are five.
There's five? Okay.
Yes.
So we had three endings. I think we made it through the movie. We had a successful outcome and then we had some less than successful outcomes.
Yeah. Sure. The first one I did, was like, cause the ending is usually, pointed or kind of pinned by, a review of the game that he made.
Yes.
And the review scores vary depending on, and that's what makes you want to play it again. Is that like, oh, the review score was low. I want to get a high review score. I want his game to be successful.
And they do a great job with the movie. So if you make a bad choice or you make a choice in the movie that leads you down a path of failure, when they do rewind everything and bring it back, it's still kind of the same stuff, but they almost acknowledge the fact that you've already been here. You've already done that. I think you might have even mentioned that when he talked about it.
Yeah, it's interesting the way they'll gloss over some of the scenes.
Yeah, and then they'll reference things that you've already done, and you're like, oh, well, somehow it knows we've already done these things. It's trippy. It's a kind of a mind F in some ways, but it was very enjoyable.
Like, well, I'm glad that you watched it, and I wanted to bring it up again in that you should probably watch it relatively soonly. Or soon?
Soonly.
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 Because...
like the guy from the U.S. Enterprise or whatever.
Yeah.
Soonly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his name, right?
Lieutenant Soonly.
Yeah. Sure.
I didn't know what ranking he had. You can tell I'm not into the Star Trek as much as I am other things.
Are you thinking of Sulu?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That was supposed to be the joke.
Yes. All right.
That one went over Al.
Right over Al's head. You are significantly taller than him, so.
I'm sitting down this week.
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know.
You sore?
No, I'm not. I'm just feeling lazy.
too many hard-boiled eggs?
I don't know that they're going to take it off of Netflix, but I would recommend everybody watch Black Mirror Bandersnatch as soon as you can, because Choose Co. LLC, who published the Choose Your Own Adventure books, are suing Netflix for $25 million.
So that's why they're hiking up
subscription rates are going through the roof.
Based on this particular thing. That's the big national news. Locally, there's a guy, he'll actually be at Astronomicon. He wrote the comic with the guys from Twisted. His name's Dirk Manning. Dirk Manning wrote a story a couple of years ago about a character in a video game who discovers that he's not in control of his actions.
Uh-huh.
And when he was watching Bandersnatch, there's a conversation between the main character and the other programmer when they go and they do the drugs.
Yeah.
And he talks about, he makes a metaphor using Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you think it's a dream, but it's a nightmare world. And yeah. that was the name of the book with Dirk Manning's
really?
Story about this particular, this almost
oh,
this exact theme.
Goodness. Netflix. See, the Netflix is being naughty and stealing yeah. stuff. Or there's a really weird coincidence with all this.
Yeah. So if you see Dirk at Astronomicon, don't ask him about Black Mirror. He loved the Black Mirror show up until this point.
Really?
Now he's kind of, he's a little
so he's
unhappy
publicly
about this.
Come out and said he's not happy
he
with it.
Yeah. He's come out and been like this, like, look, there's, you know, there's, hey, that's kind of like the thing I wrote, or hey, that's a that steals
yeah.
something. And then there's, you know, almost name dropping it to wink and nod about like, yeah, I stole your thing.
Oh man, it makes me not like it as much if I rip some of the stuff off.
A little bit. It's still fantastic, and I'd still like to see Netflix do more of this kind of
oh,
thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like, I'd watch another one. Like, I'd love to see another version of it.
My question about Black Mirror is where exactly it comes from. Is it a Netflix exclusive, like they pay for the, or do they purchase that from someone else? Because it feels like it's a British show.
It is a British show, but so, I feel like Netflix gets it first,
okay,
kind of thing.
I
like
wasn't
if
sure because sometimes
airs,
they'll do that where it might be a BBC show that's not airing in the States, so Netflix can snatch up the rights and then it can become a Netflix exclusive when it actually
right.
in the UK will
yeah,
air on the BBC.
Just a Thursday night show in the BBC or something.
Right. So right.
I thought it was originally like a BBC Twilight Zone.
Yeah, because watching the first season or so, like it feels BBC, it feels British,
right?
So I was just curious because that, I you know, I don't know if maybe the copyright laws are different and they did rip off this thing and then they put it in the States and now Netflix is like, oh crap,
oops,
what did we buy? You know,
yeah.
like,
increase the subscription rates, increase it. We gotta get lawyers,
yeah,
fast.
And I don't know. This is nothing I read or anything. I was just curious if that could be part of the issue here.
While we're on the subject of Bandersnatch too, I did find an article on comicbookresources.com about, it's called The Guide to the Secret Ending, the Fifth Ending.
Mm-hmm.
It incorporates a lot of choosing the same thing twice. Because right from the get-go, there's
oh, okay.
when the main character is in the video game studio and mm-hmm. the publisher is like, we want to buy your game.
Yeah.
If you accept, you get the first bad ending.
Yeah,
where the
I learned
game
that
has
real fast.
Yeah, where the game has a bad review. Because, of course, you would accept. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I was like, why would I say no?
Yeah.
Dream come true.
Yeah, and that's the first one when you accept that, where the other programmer's like, made the wrong choice, mate. And he's looking dead in the camera. Like, mm-hmm. he's looking right at you, the viewer, saying, nope, you weren't supposed to do that. But if you accept twice and then refuse, it changes things.
Really?
Instead, because most people, I'm sure yourself and myself included, you accept, you get the wrong ending, and you're like,
yeah.
well, I guess
okay,
I have to refuse.
I got
to
say no, yeah.
Right. No, apparently there's other stuff if you accept twice.
Interesting.
And then refuse.
Because we pretty much gave up. My girlfriend and I stopped watching once.
Yeah, once you've played it for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly. An hour and a half. Like, we came up, we're like, oh, we've already been to this crossroads.
Yep.
We've already made this decision. So I was like, well, I know this decision, if we go down here, it takes you down a real trippy mind F path. So
right.
let's go down this normal one, and then we'll just choose the opposite things we chose through there.
Yeah.
And we still got like a not so great outcome, but it was still different than the other two that we had.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's worth checking out.
I don't know if you already know this, James, but the producers of A Quiet Place are going to be rebooting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise for the movies.
Really?
Yeah.
The people who produced A Quiet Place, huh?
Yep. So I don't know.
That was the John Krasinski one, right?
It was. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's not that Bird Box movie with the you know, the blind Sandra Bullock. Yeah, a lot of breathing. So, yeah, we're going to get a new Ninja Turtles movie, I believe, in 2020 is where they're aiming.
I guess we'll see how it goes, man, because I really enjoyed the second one,
yeah,
the Michael Bay-esque one or whatever.
For as weird as the Turtles looked,
yeah.
like, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially the second one.
Exactly.
The second one was so
exactly what I wanted from the first one.
Really? Yep. I didn't see the second one.
Because you got Bebop and Rocksteady. You know?
Seamus plays Rocksteady,
yeah.
and it's hilariously fun.
So,
yeah.
Oh, I did want to mention this. So last week I was complaining to you guys about the NES games on the Switch.
Yeah.
About like they haven't told me which NES games.
Yeah, you didn't know if there was any more games coming out or something.
Friggin' an hour after we talked, they announced that today, Wednesday, by the time you hear this, they're already on there. The two games for the Nintendo Switch this month are Blaster Master and the second Legend of Zelda game from the Nintendo.
Oh, that looks like the Adventures of Link or whatever?
Yeah, the Adventure of Link, the one that was more of a side-scroller
RPG. Yeah, they didn't
RPG.
Make any sense. I could never figure that one out. Like,
let me share with you and our listeners a tip that I discovered long ago with the Adventure of Link. So it's based on experience points in order to get Link more heart containers or whatever like that. There's an area where it's in the swamp where this bird comes down out of the top of the screen and then sideways. And if you move Link all the way to the side of the screen and then turn him around and then with a turbo button, hold it down, you'll hit that bird every time it comes down. Every time it comes down, it's two experience. So back in the day, I got the big NES Advantage controller, and you just put something heavy on the sword button and walk away.
Oh, okay.
Come back every half hour or so and click the start button to get more, to increase the heart containers, and then walk away and go do something else.
There you go.
So
I still don't understand what you're supposed to do in the game.
The greatest leveling up ever, because that's the one complaint I have about Final Fantasy is... You would like max out your character and then you'd move on. And then 30 minutes later, you got to spend another 4 hours leveling up. Like, oh my God.
I think that might be my favorite thing about playing video games is when you can find those little like things that make the rest of the game significantly easier.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Because over the weekend, I finished that Persona game.
Back in the day, that was called Game Shark.
Right. I finished that Persona game 120 hours later over the weekend. Finally got to the end of it.
You pass the exam?
I pass the exams.
Hooray.
I shot God in the face.
Wow.
Which is how
that's a hell of an exam.
Quite a test.
Yeah. Well, there was a thing I discovered online that was like that. When you're in the particular dungeons, if you take too long on any given level, the Grim Reaper comes after you he's supposed to be unbeatable. However, there's a weather system every day. And when the flu season is high, there's a chance the Grim Reaper will get a status effect, which will just kill him.
That's awesome.
You just have
found out how to beat death.
Yeah, you just have to wait until it's flu season and then run into the Grim Reaper. And then if he doesn't have the flu, then you run away from him and then you take a couple steps away and then you run into him again to try until he has the flu.
Get your flu shot.
And then he dies and you get like 13 levels out of it.
Wow, that's more epic than when Bill and Ted beat the Grim Reaper in Twister.
Yeah, or Battleship.
Yeah, in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I did feel a little bit like Bill and Ted beating the Reaper.
Nice.
It was pretty great. But yeah, I finished it and there's an opportunity to play a new game plus, which you start with like all your levels and all your stuff, and you can go through the game a little bit easier, but you can check out all the stuff you missed the first time. I don't, Al, this is probably not a question, more a question for James than Al, but have you guys ever played a game where like you can play it again as soon as you're done?
Maybe like the original Mario. Usually once I beat a game, I'm like, thank God I'm done.
Yeah.
That's how I
felt it. Like I said, 120 hours later, I'm like, oh, finally, I'm done with this game. I can move on to a new one.
If I love it. I like the replayability factor of, say, Red Dead Redemption, the first one.
Yeah.
I would keep playing that one a little bit as the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, go do some duels or whatever, but,
just kind of mop up everything you did, like the hunting or some jobs that you didn't do or something.
Yeah. But also, likewise, a game that I very much enjoyed and did get to the end was Arkham Asylum, and no part of me felt like I needed to go back and find all the riddle clues or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all right. Like I'm so shocked that I get to the end of the story that I'm just like, hey, well, all right.
I can't believe that happened.
I actually saw this through.
Yeah. Because it's a rarity if I actually make it through a whole game now. I don't have the time.
So yeah.
Like, exactly. Yeah. So ordinarily the answer to your question would be no, it's very rare, but it has happened. Games that I've wanted to keep playing.
I'm thankful that the older I get, the more likely I am to drop a game if I'm not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still...
Oh,
like,
dude, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I'll still play through a game I absolutely am angry at and hate because I'm so close to the end. Like, nope, I've already put in X amount of hours. I'm just going to finish this son of a... and then get through it. But there has been a couple games that I've gotten 3 or 4 hours in and I'm like, I'm not having a good time. I'm just going to delete this.
That's how I felt about Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not a quiet, sneak up and kill people kind of game guy. Well, you got a Xbox One, I'll give you Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Right.
I just wanted to get in. I wanted to fight Medusa. I wanted to fight a Minotaur. I wanted to fight the mythical creatures from Greek mythology, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm too busy. Like, I get involved in these political battles between these Greek entities. I'm like, I don't give a crap about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I was like... Once I looked up online how far away I was from fighting these things, I was like, I'm not going to put that much time into this game.
Yeah, right.
So,
you know, I always liked the sneak around games. You know, like I liked, SOCOM was one
I'm
that
always
I liked.
Bad at them.
I'm bad at it too. But
I play Metal Gear games, which are based on sneaking around,
I was horrible at Metal Gear too.
I know that I'm going to, they're going to catch me, and at least I can machine gun them down and move on.
Yeah. I think that's actually one of the most frustrating things about, say, a Call of Duty to me was like, I wanted to play it.
You wanted to be sneaky?
Check your corners or whatever and advance up, but, you know, it's designed to run and gun.
Right.
You know, but I would prefer to take it slow and duck behind corners and crouch and.
See, not me. I roll in, I FS up, and then I get the F out.
Yep.
You know, that's how I like to play. I think the only game where it's really like sneaky oriented that I actually completed was Manhunt for like the PS2.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And that was like brutal. Like you had to like sneak up and like choke out serial killers.
Yeah,
and
it was
like,
very, very graphic.
You had to find a weapon like a glass shard and then sneak up and shiv somebody in the back.
Stick in their
and
neck.
And here I am like a junior in high school. Like I just murdered 47 people in various ways.
Yeah.
Out of all the things that Manhunt did, the thing that I loved the most is I played on the Xbox, and I'm pretty sure you could do this on PlayStation as well. But if you had the headset to go online and you plugged it in, because during Manhunt, you've got a guy that's like in your ear the whole time talking. Mm-hmm. But if you plugged the headset into the Xbox, his voice no longer came out of the television. It only came out of the headset.
Oh, wow.
Which really some cool immersion.
Yeah, that's cool. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Alba just freaked out about the giant pig guy you fight at the end.
Yeah, that was super
creepy.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa, it's scary. And I'm not good with scary games. So that combined me being bad at sneaking and also being scared all the time.
Yeah.
So the fact that I made it through that is a testament. I swear to God.
I guess that leads to my next question. Have you tried the Resident Evil 2 demo yet?
No. I don't understand. Are they re-releasing all these Resident Evils?
I don't think they're re-releasing all of them, but okay. Obviously they're taking the graphics from the most current Resident Evil, mm-hmm. the updated graphics, and completely redoing probably the most successful Resident Evil of all time, Resident Evil 2.
Okay, yeah, that's the one that I've... Actually, that's maybe a franchise of games that I'd actually still play once you beat. Because technically that one, you beat it with one character.
And then you have to play with the other one.
You have to still play through and do it again with the other character, like to see everything from their point of view. And that's when I attempted but never completed.
Yeah.
But no. So there's a free demo? Like what?
There's a free demo on the Play. I don't know if it's on the Xbox. I think so. But there's a free demo.
Well, he's got both. So.
Yeah, true. I just got to hook up. I had a PS4 just in a box.
There's a free demo on the PlayStation 4. It starts
Al's PSN name or whatever. Just kind of sticky note stuck right to it. Just sitting on right by my TV.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
It starts you in the police station with Leon Kennedy.
Okay.
And leads you through some of the stuff that you will remember from the original PlayStation 2. We'll actually talk about it probably next week. Kenny's coming in.
Oh, I was going to say Kenny?
Kenny! I just killed Elbeck. He's trying to laugh off mic. But Kenny's the one that turned me on to it and was like, dude, you got to try out the Resident Evil 2 demo. And I tried it out yesterday before we got here. And we'll talk to Kenny about it next week more in depth. But
now, is it, I don't want to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
But is it going to be like how the newer Resident Evils go into that third person view?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Kind of an over the shoulder third person.
See, I don't know if I'd like that. That's the thing.
Also, the demo gives you a half an hour.
Okay.
When you start playing, you've got a half an hour. You can get as far as you want in that half an hour. But once that half an hour, you can't save your game. But once that half an hour is up is when it pulls the plug on you.
Man, it's been a while since I mixed some green herbs with some red herbs and applied it to an injury.
That's when you know you're playing Resident Evil.
You find a red herb. I don't have enough room for a red herb.
Yep.
But I need it because I'm poisoned.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense to me because Resident Evil is a thing that I saw my brother play. I think it was the first one.
Yeah, the original PlayStation.
Scary.
And we turned a corner and there was a zombie eating a thing and I was like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
Because I'm like you, James. I don't like scary movies and I don't like and like the more interactive I get, the less interested I am. So when you're talking about a game and you're controlling the character, it puts you more in it.
Yeah.
I'm out. I can't do that. I don't like movies. But I can read like a horror comic book because it's just like drawings on a page. They're not moving and it's easy to, you know, like I hate zombies and I had to be talked into reading The Walking Dead and that was fine.
I think part of the reason I like horror movies as much as I do now started with games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill.
Really?
Yeah. Because with the games, it felt like you weren't yelling at a person, don't go in that room. That's where the killer is. Like, no, you're controlling them.
Yeah.
Well, so, instead, you're like, oh, I don't want to go in that
exactly.
room.
Exactly. There's a dude in there.
But Resident Evil, like, to me, was one of the first games where people start surprisingly popping out of walls.
Yeah.
Like whatever, I don't know, Mutant X or whatever the thing is called. I don't know what the name is, so nobody let me up. It's been a while.
Right.
I remember playing that when you'd go through the second time or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Nemesis.
Yeah, the Nemesis.
Just, like, comes crashing through the
windows.
Yeah,
then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this hallway's totally safe.
Nope.
Walking through with the wonky controls. You know, you gotta, no matter what you do to go forward, you always get hit up.
Yep.
No matter what way you're facing. So it's always real weird to control.
Those tank controls.
Yeah. So then, you know, you're just walking through this hallway safe and bam!
Yeah.
Yep.
Some weird guy pops out, and you got to shoot him with a missile launcher.
And James did just, you know, ask, like, hey, it's been a while, like, no angry. What we like to do here at Nerd Radio is when people are upset, we encourage them to tweet at Meltdown WRIF.
Yeah, let him know how you feel about it.
Right,
which,
sure.
Which we did already twice in our next segment, which has already been recorded.
Perfect.
Yeah, you want to talk about some timey-wimey stuff. So we recorded what you're hearing next before we're doing now, and the episode that you're hearing now has already aired after James. You've been on, what is it, Facebook Live with the Astronomicon people?
I'll be there
later
tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah. So that will have happened by the time this podcast
by the time you hear it.
Yes.
Yeah, Mike and Dustin invited me on their the Astronomicon Conversation show that they're going to do today,
nice.
Talking about the Astronomicon coming up February 8th through 10th in Sterling Heights.
It's going to be a fun time.
I can't wait. Sure. They got some great guests.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet some of the wrestlers. They're going to be there. Some horror movie people that I'm like, oh, I want to talk to them. That's cool.
Yeah.
So you'll definitely you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. That was the other thing I was going to bring up. I decided over the holiday, as we're talking about horror movies,
yeah.
I had a subscription to an anime service, like Netflix or something like that. It was like $8 a month, and I could watch all this anime and stuff like that. And I don't use it quite so much. But a friend of mine, Shawnee, just started a horror podcast where they review horror movies like twice a week. And some of the horror movies they review are on Shudder, which is a horror movie streaming service.
Right, yeah.
So I canceled my Crunchyroll service and started a Shudder account so I could watch scary movies that they're talking about. And I found some really fun ones. There was a movie that I watched over the holidays. It's actually a Christmas movie called Better Watch Out. And it takes place during Christmas. It's about this kid and his babysitter, he's like 14 and she's like 17, and he's got a huge crush on her.
Oh, he's trying to make it happen
with the babysitter. So he gets his friend outside to make it like somebody's trying to attack the house.
Sure.
So that she'll get scared, so that maybe he can make this happen, and then some hilarity ensues. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, ruin any of the twists and turns of the movie.
It's like turning the
really
heat
fun.
Up during sweater season. It's so hot in here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ooh, might need to take that layer off.
Mm.
But yeah, that was my Chuck Bean New Year's resolution was to I'm not watching as much anime in 2019, but I'm gonna watch a lot more horror movies.
Well, there you go. I'm sure I will watch nothing.
Yeah, hopefully you'll read some comics.
Well,
we'll see.
I'm sure I'll get caught up by, you know, 2025.
All right. Well, let's talk about some comics coming up here.
Yes.
Some Nerd Radio.
Yes, let's do that in the future, which has definitely not happened yet.
Which we recorded in the past.
Yes. Oh, my God.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm Tom Savage, listening to Nerd Radio on Rip 2.
Welcome back, Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. I used to say when we were on Wednesday nights on our HD2 station here in Detroit. But you know what? You can listen to us pretty much anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
We're on, I believe we're on the Google Play. We're on Spotify. We're on the iTunes.
Yes.
We are on the iTunes. Last week we talked to James about the fact that it's a little difficult. But if you go to our Twitter page.
Yes.
Nerd Radio 101 on Twitter. Write the pinned tweet. We'll send you to the iTunes link, and you can find us there.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're having trouble, because I had somebody else, James and I, all of us, we always share the episodes on Twitter and whatever else. And
for sure,
we had somebody that couldn't find us on the Podbean app, which is it's another one of the platforms out there. So I mean, I don't know if that has been corrected yet or not. But if you're listening to this and it's not on your regular platform, let us know.
For sure.
Because, I sent an email off to our podcast captain for the region, which is Steve Black.
We will angrily bust down the door of Steve Black and be like, what the heck?
Yes. Yeah. And, we'll send Chuck first, then I'll come in with some stronger language.
For sure.
And then if we still don't get results, we'll send James in his man thong. And that, it just progressively gets worse from there. So
that tends to get results.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to stop the threats with James and his man thong, because anything past that is premeditation. But no, if you are listening to this right now, maybe you are listening on Omni via the station website, but you want to subscribe to Podbean like this particular guy, and you don't want to miss an episode, but it's not on your app, let us know. So that we can run it up the flagpole here and hopefully get that issue corrected. So we have had some issues with that. We want to make sure everyone can give it a listen. We want it to be convenient, too. We want it to just show up in whatever, wherever you get your podcasts.
And I have to say, on a personal note, I do not miss the irony of the fact that we're telling you this on the podcast that you may have had trouble finding in the first place.
I know, which is why I'm saying maybe you followed a link that we shared on social media. So, right. Again, Nerd Radio 101 is how you find us on Twitter.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I think we're even on Instagram. It's just that I don't update the Instagram unless I'm, like, at a convention.
Right. You can find me at Albeck Radio. You're at Hello, This Is Bean.
Exactly.
And even James, who's not in here for this segment, but he's Who the F is JC on Twitter and all that. So let us know if you're having trouble. And, you know, I can't guarantee we'll correct it because we've been dumb. We need someone else to do it for us. Right. But we'll pass it on if there are any issues.
Exactly. Well, Al, the reason James isn't with us right now is because we haven't talked comic books in a while.
Right.
We used to talk comics all the time.
And to be fair, for a James fan, he was invited. He's actually...
Absolutely.
And it's not even that he didn't want to be a part of this. He's actually tied up with work right now.
He actually
so, yeah.
has actual work to do
yes.
while we sit here and talk about nerd stuff.
Yes.
But we used to talk about comics on a fairly weekly basis, and then you quit.
I gave up on myself. I did.
But that's a New Year's resolution, is to try and squeak comics into the conversation a little bit more this particular year.
To be fair, whether I'm reading and up to date on comics or not, it's always been you bringing in. You've handled the lion's share of it.
It's true.
I, every 3 months or so, would bring in an issue of Deadpool I thought was really funny.
Right. Well, yeah. And we did have somebody tweet us, a couple of weeks ago or something about that, about how much fun it is to hear me try and sell you on things for you to just go, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Not interested.
Yeah.
Don't care.
And
nope.
and right now is the worst time to pitch me anything, because when I am behind on stuff,
right,
I feel overwhelmed and I start to get resentful towards the stuff that's supposed to give us pleasure. You know, like I get resentful towards, you know, Marvel for providing too much content. And
right.
all they're doing is giving people more stuff to watch, and most people I talk to love having a new season of Punisher coming up, where I get annoyed because I'm going, the first season's where I left off, I don't have time for this crap, I'm out! And that happens with comics, too. Right now, TV's about the only thing I am up to date on.
Oh, well.
You know, but I've also cut my list of shows down to almost nothing.
Yeah, just like the comics. You're just like, no, I'm not doing a... Have you... I know that... You still get comics from your buddy Worm,
mm-hmm.
which is hilarious because it's always like a drug deal in the parking lot.
Oh, I know,
handing you a brown paper bag full of comics like you're buying nudie magazines or something.
Yeah, nudie magazine day! Nudie magazine day! I don't think it's weird at all. Everyone else thinks it's hilarious.
Did you stop your Green Lantern? Or are you grabbing them and then just putting them in the back? Because I know it's a guy you don't like writing it.
Who the hell? I might have been our friend and old teacher Eric Braun.
Yeah,
posted on Facebook something about Grant Morrison, awesome, and I was like, oh, Eric.
The cover of the last issue was real fun because he was arresting God, and that was like, oh, that's that kind of craziness I expect from a Grant Morrison.
Still have not read any of the Grant Morrison because I'm still behind. I've been doing some catch up. My deficit isn't quite as deep as it was.
Right.
But I still am really far behind, so I haven't even gotten to the Grant Morrison stuff. And I think we're on issue 3, maybe, at this point?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4. So I haven't read it yet. I'm going to give it a try when I eventually get there in 7 years.
Sure. Absolutely.
I've got 2 more months of comics to get caught up on before I get, you know, whatever. I'll give it a go, because I did have a really good time at the beginning of Action Comics, the
sure.
New 52, the Superman thing, the first like 6 months of that or so, I really liked, and then it went all, you know, Grant Morrison and
all goofy.
It went all goofy. It went off the rails, and I stopped enjoying it. So I dropped the book. Superman's not a character that I'll show up for, though. I don't hate him like a lot of people do.
Right.
I'll read some Superman.
I'm starting to realize as I read Brian Michael Bendis's run of Superman, he's about 6 months in now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just not a Superman guy.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like that.
I can't even put my finger on why.
Some of the people I've talked to
doesn't excite me.
Yeah, well, I think some of the people that I talk to, for one thing, they find it boring that he's the Boy Scout and everything he does is good.
Sure. There's always the complaint that he's overpowered.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, like,
that's the other one.
How does he not win all the time?
Right. And all you've got is this one weakness in Kryptonite.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, how are we going to work Kryptonite into this one? Because it's the only thing we got on him. So people just find it boring, I think. And I understand the reasoning behind it. It doesn't bother me, though. I definitely gravitate more towards Batman because he's dark and sinister and kind of a douche, and, you know, I relate to that.
Well, since you brought up Batman, I've got a couple news stories up here, so let's start with Detective Comics 1000.
All right.
Is on its way to your comic book stores in just a couple of months. Going to be just like Action Comics 1000 last year. Going to be an oversized, overpriced.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was like a Freudian slip there, but you meant it. Meant it.
No, it's going to have a bunch of stories, including there's going to be a story by Bendis and Alex Maleev, mm-hmm. who he does Scarlet with currently right now, and
who
did the Jessica Jones book with. Warren Ellis is going to do a story in there.
Nice.
Which would be very cool with Becky Cloonan. Paul Dini, creator of Harley Quinn and frequent writer on the Batman animated series, is doing a story in there. It's pretty cool. Kevin Smith is writing a story that Jim Lee is penciling.
Interesting.
In this particular book. Jeff Johns will be doing a story in it.
Good. All right.
Tom King, who we love on Batman,
is going to be
on there. Scott Snyder. And a couple other writers who are not as, but, you know, the lion's share of writers on this book are writers that me and you are both huge, huge fans of. It's also going to have, much like Action Comics did, I think it's 10 different covers, 10 different variant covers.
Yes.
Each one signifying a different era of Batman.
Sure.
There's a Frank Miller cover. There's, let me see if I can find it here. There's a Bruce Timm cover, a Greg Capullo. Tim Sale's doing a cover, some classic guys, Bernie Wrightson, Jim Steranko, Steve Rude, all going to be doing covers for this Batman. It goes on sale March 27th.
Do you have, of that list that you just rattled off there, do you have one that you have your eye on?
You know what? The regular cover, which is actually the graphic for this news story.
Yeah.
It's a wraparound cover. It almost looks like a Jim Lee cover, but I think it's not. But it's just in the Batcave, and I think that's kind of a cool looking thing.
Oh, yeah. No, that does look cool.
Like all the other ones, I'm like, that's okay. The Greg Capullo cover looks kind of neat.
That was kind of where I was expecting your answer to be.
Yeah, if you want to look them up, they've already revealed them online.
Oh, nice.
You can check them out. Like I said, the Greg Capullo cover is kind of neat. I'll tell you what, I am off the train when it comes to Frank Miller.
Yeah, you've mentioned that to me before.
He did a variant cover a couple of weeks ago for the regular Batman book. And it looked like Batman was on Dr. Katz. Do you remember Dr. Katz?
No.
The old animated show where like it was all squiggly? It was not good.
Ooh. I don't know, man. Has anyone ever, maybe they have, so I might be putting my foot in my mouth here, but has anyone ever really showed up to Frank Miller for his art?
I don't know. Maybe back in like Sin City days.
I guess maybe.
You know, but I think mostly people show up because they want to see what he's going to write.
Yeah. So it's always, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read a lot of Miller, so I'll say that. But it's, I don't know, just it's always been so blocky to me. Just,
yeah, absolutely. You know. Absolutely. A little bit like John Romita Jr.
Yeah.
He's got a very blocky style.
I like Romita Jr., though.
I do.
Get down with him.
Yeah, no, I'm cool.
But I see what you're saying.
There was a period of time he took over Uncanny X-Men right after like Jim Lee left.
Oh, well, you can't go Jim Lee to.
And that was the first time that I quit collecting Uncanny X-Men. And then like a year went by and I came back for story reasons or whatever like that because I was interested and had to go back and get all those books.
Yeah.
And they were good books.
Was that when you learned your lesson or did you have to,
Oh, no,
quit?
I did it two more times.
Two more times,
I was like, why do I just quit?
Yeah, well.
This is dumb. I'm dumb.
Well, we all know that I've done that multiple times myself.
Right. Speaking of stuff that's coming up in, I believe in March, my Transformers comics are coming back. IDW is coming back with Transformers comics.
Oh, I miss Jefferson right now.
They
give you a hard
about
time about your goddamn Transformers.
They're going to be twice a month too, just like Batman.
Oh God!
How exciting! I will sell you on these robots to turn into cars. I will. It will happen.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
What else do we got?
Walk straight into Gerald.
Yeah, well, there you go. Oh, what else do I got listed here? Oh, December was the end of all the big events that Marvel did. Was it the Infinity Wars?
Okay.
Spider-Geddon, which was the big Spider-Man event, and then the X-Men Extermination, which I think was the only one of the three that you were kind of interested in, because that was the end of the...
Well, I had an interest in all of them, and I actually think I ended up getting all of Infinity War. I had dropped it, and I think Worm... And I don't know. I tell Worm, because he's like... It's a startup at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So and every time I drop something with him, I always were like, listen, man, like, if you've already ordered something for me,
then I'll
still
up.
Buy it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he had solicited, when I dropped it, I think maybe it was already solicited out far enough that I got all of them. So I don't know. We'll see. Which I'm kind of glad about, because I did the same thing. I dropped Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
And I never read even a page of it. So, but I'm really liking the Tom King stuff with Batman. But I think I might have all the Heroes for Hire, so I might still be
Heroes in Crisis.
Heroes in Crisis. Yeah, oh, yeah, not Heroes for Hire. That's
That's Luke Cage.
That is Luke Cage. Oh, great. Well,
there you go.
Oh, great. A mistake on a nerd show. What the emails
come
in?
Here come the tweets.
Meltdown WRF. if any nerd complaints, as always.
All right. Well, here's the thing I definitely wanted to talk about, because they released the Diamond released the stats for 2018 of who the top comic book publishers were, what were the top 10 selling comic books. They even got the trade paperbacks in here.
Oh, okay.
Where would you like to start, list-wise?
The trades. What have we got in trades? Yeah.
All right. According to Diamond's list.
Because that's the last thing you said, so the only thing I remember.
There you go.
Out of the top, like a goldfish.
The top 10 best-selling graphic novels. This will be interesting, because I'm sure you've read quite a few of these. Even with as lapsed as you are in your regular comics.
Yeah.
Number one, Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay.
Yeah. In a year that had an Infinity War movie, not that surprising.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly. Yeah. You read the original Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so following that, Saga Volume 9, as well as Saga Volume 1, Saga Volume 8. So the Saga, a lot of people looks
now
like...
Now were 8 and 9 released last year? Okay.
Yep.
So that would explain those two, and then you know people go back.
People go back for volume one, but to have three different trade paperbacks from the same series on there.
I know, and that's another one I read. You purchased the first one for me and said you have to read this, and I loved it. And then I went and bought. I mean, I think I only have up through five trades. I went and purchased all of them that were out at the time, and haven't read anything beyond the first trade. And it's to the point now where I definitely have to go back and start from the beginning again, which is luckily only one trade. But
well, as a side note, Brian K. Vaughan, I think it was early in December, launched signed a film and TV deal with Legendary Entertainment. So we mentioned on the show when it happened, Saga, no issues coming out for most of this year.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got a chance to catch up.
I do.
Which is cool.
I do.
But this also.
Will it happen though?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah,
see. Brian K. Vaughan, that implies that some of his stuff like Why the Last Man or Ex Machina or even Saga may be adapted into something, which I remember saying when he said he wasn't putting out any Saga issues for most of 2019. I was like, I wonder if he's just, you know, working on a TV show or a movie and trying to get ahead.
It would make sense. It's a really, really hot book.
Yeah.
Right now.
Let's see. What else is in here? There was a hardcover called Action Comics, 80 Years of Superman, that apparently sold really well. I think it was just a reprint book, too. I think it was just some of the best Superman stories
from
the last 80 years kind of thing. Walking Dead, Volume 29.
Wow, 29.
Was on there. Paper Girls, another Brian K. Vaughan Image book, volume one. Monstrous, which is the first volume of that, which is another Image book. And Batman White Knight
was
on the list, as well as Dark Knight's Metal.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I
wasn't crazy about Metal.
Neither was I. But
White Knight
over.
I really liked. And I had somebody on Facebook or Twitter or something ended up reaching out to me to... Like, hey, man, like, I'm a comic nerd. I just read White Knight. Loving it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was very good.
It was a fantastic read. Mm-hmm. Actually, let me sidetrack before we get to, like, the publishers and the comics.
This show, no sidetracking allowed.
No, sir.
No, sir.
We're going back
too silly.
To Batman, the Dark Knight's book. That was written by Scott Snyder.
Yes.
And we've talked before about the fact that Scott Snyder books tend to read better all at once.
Yes.
Than chopped
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
into,
I,
into
I,
a
I think
book.
He writes for the trade. Yeah.
Okay, so I went and saw Into the Spider-Verse, and when we left the theater, Amy was like, do you have the Miles Morales comics? I'd be kind of interested in them. Like, mm-hmm. Of course I do. It's a Brian Michael Bendis thing. I have every issue. So
there's another guy who often writes for the trade, I feel, you know.
So I took them and I put them in a separate box. I've got a box in the bedroom that's like her box of comics. It's like, these are stuff you should read. Mm-hmm. That's where most of the Batmans go when I'm done with them because she loves Batman. So I put them in there. And then over the holiday season, I was like, you know what? It's been a while since I read the beginning of the Miles Morales stuff. I'm going to sit down and read some of this stuff. And I was surprised to find out that at least the first year and a half, like the first 18 issues of Brian Michael Bendis' run on Miles Morales, actually don't read great as trade paperbacks.
Really?
They actually read a lot better in like a monthly setting where it's like you read an issue and then you don't come back for a minute. Because the continuity between those 18 issues is real jagged.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
But there's a like every issue has like a high point where you're like, oh, yeah, this is the issue that this happens in, or they have this conversation.
Because we have, as you mentioned, we've said that in the past a number of times about Scott Snyder. And he continuously comes up when we speak of writing for the trade.
Yeah.
We have mentioned Brian Michael Bendis, though I do think he's a little more palatable month to month than Snyder is.
For sure.
But we've mentioned that before. Like, oh, man, I went back and sat down over. Wow, it's so much better when you do it back to back to back to back.
Yeah, this is literally the first time that's happened where it was worse.
And I feel like a lot of just the nature or the format with which they write comics today, and everything is a 4 to 6 issue story arc.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be written for the trade these days. So it's not just these couple of guys. It's everybody for the most part.
Well, yeah, that's the business model is that you know, your money is really made once you hit the trade paperback market.
Right.
You know, because people on the internet or on Amazon or you using digital services like a Nook or something like that, like that's where they put the trade paperback typically.
Right.
So, and that's typically how people will buy in on a $10 or $15 trade.
Yeah, and it's a thing that you can typically, if it you know, especially with the digital format, typically you can go back and find it anytime in the future.
Right.
Whereas trying to get the single issues are for people who are not patient and are collectors, which both are describing of me
or myself
and yourself. although I talk about not being patient and I can't seem to get around to reading this stupid crap, but
you have to have it.
But I've got to have it.
Got to have it when it comes out.
Yeah. No, I'm a creature of habit. So the collecting kind of falls into that. You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the top comic book publishers of 2018. Who made the most money? Who had the biggest dollar
share? The most money.
If you had to guess.
If I had to guess, I got to guess Marvel is the top spot.
You would be correct.
Yes.
That obviously means DC Comics must be number two.
You would think, and I'm going to guess that. I'm going to go ahead and say DC is number two. If it's not, it will be my third guess, which is Image.
Yeah.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, so you would be correct in all three of those guesses.
Yeah.
Marvel Comics, according to the graph that Diamond put out, with a 38% dollar share in 2018 of the total pie of everybody that bought comics. DC coming in with 30% of that pie.
Okay.
And then Image Comics coming in with 10%.
I know there's a lot of people I would hear, and maybe at your shop that you work at, there are people that get every number one from Image.
They do.
To at least check it out.
And it always... It angers me because typically that behavior is based on the fact that I didn't pick up The Walking Dead when it came out, and I want to have the next Walking Dead. And if there's one thing, I was just talking to somebody at the store about this the other day. If there's one thing I absolutely hate about comic books, it's the speculation market.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, I got to have this book because there's a, okay, you're putting me in a tangent here.
Well, it's about time I shared my soapbox. Here, let me step down. All right, Chuck, hop on up there.
The second issue of Batman, the Batman Who Laughs comes out today.
Yeah, keep going.
And it's on the cover is the Grim Knight, which is the Batman with machine guns.
Machine gun Batman!
Which is in the first issue, but people are flipping out because this is his first appearance. And I'm like, no, it's not!
Oh, you're wrong!
He was all over issue one!
All over it.
Apparently there's a Harley Quinn issue with a new character. No one gives a fuck.
I love the decision making process there. Like, do we call up DMX or not? Yeah. What?
This whole like, oh, I got to get this issue that came out this week because there's a new character that might, you know, be worth a damn in 6 months. Like, wait until 6 months from now. Nobody knew Deadpool was going to be a big honking deal for like 2 years.
Yes. Chuck, I'm feeling it. The anger.
Okay.
Or should I say, I can feel your anger.
I think I'm better now. I think I'm better now.
Take your weapon.
A lot of
strike
the other,
me down. I'm sorry.
A lot of the other publishers that were listed, IDW got like 3% of the pie last year. Dark Horse with about 3%. Mm-hmm. Boom Studios with 2%.
The Dark Horse would have been my guess for number four.
Right. It makes me wonder, when you see numbers like this, then you start to wonder, like, what's the margin for error? Like, you know, if IDW Studios getting like 3% of a, you know, total 100% pie in a total year, mm-hmm. when, you know, your closest competitor is getting 10%, or even Image getting 10% of the pie, when your closest competitor, your next step up is like 30.
Yeah. Like, and what was Marvel again?
38.
38.
So
okay.
That's roughly close.
Yeah, those two are pretty close. But yeah, Marvel definitely has more love, I think.
All right. So here's the list of the top 10 comic books. That Diamond Entertainment. This isn't even the ones that sold out at your store. But these are the ones that Diamond sold to your comic book store.
Right.
So your comic book store could be sitting on a bunch of copies of this. You could, you know, if you're listening to this, you're like, my comic book store has a million copies of this book. Well,
it was like one of those. I can't remember which one it was, but like the Villains Month books sold really well, and so the next time they did that, I can't remember what the is that your
phone? That's my phone.
That's your phone, of course.
Just laughing at me.
I can't remember what happened that next year, but it was another holographic.
Yep.
God, I can't remember what the gimmick was. But yeah, like the stores like bought the hell out of it because they didn't have enough for demand on the Villains Month. And
yeah, pick whatever comic store you want. They have a long box full of those damn things.
But those would have been a competitor for what you're about to hit because they purchased it from the distributor, which is Diamond.
Yes. All right, so here we go. The number one, do you have a guess what you think the top comic of 2018 might have been?
You know, let's start at the bottom.
Okay, at the bottom. We'll
see if we can figure it out.
From the bottom up. Number 10 was Amazing Spider-Man 799.
Oh, so it's individual issues.
Individual issues.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's leading up to the big 800, which was the end of Dan Slott's run. Well, 801 was the end of the run.
Gotcha. So we've got a Spider-Man book here at number 10. We could also see one at number 4 or
Absolutely.
Something like that.
Okay. You're going to see at least two more of them, I can tell you that. I don't think that's a spoiler.
I could come up with an issue number, but I'll try and guess the top one when we go
All
through
right.
this.
Yeah, once I've eliminated everything else, you're like, I think it's this. That's not a
But
that's not
that
a
doesn't mean, like, it could. You've said Spider-Man. Spider-Man's on the list. It could still be a Spider-Man book. So it doesn't really, there isn't really a process of elimination.
Number 9, The Batman Who Laughs, number 1.
Okay.
Was a high-selling book. Number 8 was Amazing Spider-Man 798, which is the one before 799. Actually sold more of those than they did of 799. Venom number 1 came in at number 7, the relaunch of the Venom book. Obviously, there was a Venom movie, so that leads to that. The Return of Wolverine number 1 coming in at number 6, the 6th highest-selling comic book of 2000, or at least, you know, through the retailers.
Were these all published in 2018, or could it be? Okay.
Yep, all published in 2018. Amazing Spider-Man number 1, the relaunch that's currently going on right now. That came in at number 5. Number 4 was the relaunch of Fantastic Four, issue 1 of that. Now we're into the top 3. You want to make any guesses yet?
Oh, God. So bad at guessing.
All right. No, you don't have to.
I would love to guess the number 1, but I don't know what it could be. I feel like it's got to be something related to Infinity War somehow.
Number 3 was Batman number 50. It was the wedding of Batman Catwoman. Yeah. That was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 was Amazing Spider-Man 800.
Okay.
So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Marvel comics in the top 10. And the top book was a DC comic.
Top book was a DC comic. Would it have been Action 1000?
You got it, sir.
Hey!
Yeah. At $7.99, the book that your comic book stores ordered the most of was Action Comics 1000.
Yeah, that's a big deal, though. That's
a big deal.
That comic book has been around since 1938.
No other comic book in the history of comic books has printed 1,000 issues.
Right. You know,
even with the renumbering, they've renumbered Action Comics a couple of times, but if you put it all together, just like Marvel's done with the legacy numbers, this would be issue 1,000.
Yes.
No other comic until Detective later on this year.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, if nothing else, even if we talked about how you're not a fan of Superman, even if you're not a fan of Superman, you have to respect that really, that was like the gold standard for comic book superheroes. And,
yeah.
You know, because if I'm not, I could be wrong on this, so I could be mistaken, which is crazy talk.
Outback
I know.
Wrong? What?
But as I recall, I mean, I think that that Superman originally was sort of released almost like the newspaper comics. There was, and the first comic book of Superman may have actually been like a collection of these little serial comic book strips.
I cannot dispute or confirm that fact.
It's something I had heard. I could be wrong. I am admitting that up front that I could be wrong.
I will leave that to our social media. You guys can let us know. Is Albeck
right.
correct?
Was the if I am correct, Albeck Radio on Twitter. If I am wrong, at Meltdown WRIF.
There you go. All right, we talked about comics for a good 25 minutes.
Wow.
I think we've covered quite a bit of ground.
I think we have, too. And I do want to mention real quick that there's another criminal series out for my two favorite, well, two of my favorite guys, Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Yep.
So I like to give those guys a shout out. But, of course, I kind of, here's the thing. I showed up late to the game on the Brubaker Phillips team. So I haven't read the other criminals.
Oh.
And I haven't read them at all. So I don't know. Maybe someone can tell me that, like, oh, it's each series is a different story. You can go back and read it. Or I have to start at the beginning. But you better believe, because I'm such a fan of that team now, I am buying it.
I feel like knowing you have to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Even if we get flooded with tweets and Facebook messages saying, no, it's good. You're good, Al.
For Nerd Radio, flooded by tweets is three.
Flooded by tweets. That's fine.
Dude, I like any tweet that anytime somebody has ever reached out to us.
Absolutely.
And mentioned Nerd Radio, I am ecstatic. Speaking of which, I do have a balance to settle that a buddy of mine needed me to go. He listens to the show. I didn't even realize this until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He listens to the show and for reasons I will not disclose, they're not any crazy reasons, but whatever. I have to come on the show and say that Harry Potter is better than Star Trek. Now, and he, well, hang on, let me finish. He wants me to say that on the podcast. He listens to this religiously and he thinks that hurts me. Because even though he knows I don't believe that, I'm a Harry Potter fan.
Sure.
I am. Obviously, I prefer Star Trek. But he wants to make me say that on the podcast because he thinks it'll hurt. And he thinks I have integrity, which I don't. So I can sit here and say, Harry Potter is better than Star Trek, and not feel it and say it with a smile.
All right. Fair
enough.
So
there you go, J-Lo.
I guess that's what we'll title this week's episode, I guess.
Albeck has no integrity?
No, Harry Potter is better than Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
So he'll
see it. When it downloads, yeah. He'll know. He'll know exactly what it is. So there you go.
There you
courtesy
go.
Of my buddy J-Lo.
Right. Where do you find J-Lo on Twitter? Because we're going to get
I don't think he's on Twitter. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for showing up, Albeck, and everybody that's listening.
Up, yeah.
And we'll talk to you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
Oh, yeah.
I watched The Exorcist, I think, last year, finally, after chickening out for like 4 or 5 years straight.
Hell, even I've seen The Exorcist.
Yeah. No, I would put it every Halloween. They would put it on Netflix, so I'd put it on my Netflix list.
Yeah.
And then I'd watch two or three other movies to build up to it and be like, nope, I can't watch it. It's too scary.
You know, I read the book, and I don't even know why. I'm not like a big book reader necessarily, but I read The Exorcist for some reason, and it freaked me out. Maybe I was a little bit too young. And I am an atheist, godless heathen, and I slept with a Bible under my pillow for like a week.
Did you have to? Did you have to pull a Joey from Friends and put the book in the freezer? It was too scary.
No, I don't recall that. I've seen all of Friends, but I do not recall that.
You don't remember that episode?
No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.